up your frozen dinners, grab your TV tray, and settle in for another episode of the Plus Platoon, your podcast for all things Disney Plus, brought to you by Disney Plus fans. Watch along with us every week as we cover all the new, the old, the good, and the bad on Disney Plus. So put down that remote, don't touch that dial, and welcome your fabulous Plus Platoon host.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Plus Platoon. We're a Disney Plus fan podcast that gives honest, spoiler-filled reviews of movies and shows on Disney Plus. We'll look at new releases, coming attractions, and we'll even go back into the vault to revisit some of the classic Disney that's on the platform. Make sure you're subscribed and you will never miss a moment. I'm going to bring in Kate. Kate, good to see you this evening.
Good to see you too, brother.
Next, we got Peter. Pete, how you doing?
Hey, Derek, I love your new beach chair art.
Yeah, it fits with the fact that I'm in a condo on the beach, so that helps. Yeah. And still suffering through his last couple weeks of the school year, we've got Steve. Steve, doing okay?
I'm hanging in there.
Sometimes that's all we can ask about this point in the school year.
So, Kate, guys, do you really feel sorry for these people that are about to get 10 weeks off?
Knowing the people we have to work with, I'm just saying.
I'm just saying too.
I know, but please like, subscribe, share, guys. We've got some fun shows coming up, and you won't want to miss them. But this week, with Inside Out 2 coming out, we decided to look at the original Inside Out. Follows Riley, a girl of, I believe she was 11. 11 going on 12 by the
time. She turns 12 at the end, I think. So, yeah.
Yeah. And it follows the emotions in her head that are running her personality and shows how her memories make her who she is, et cetera. Ends up going with the whole, you need mixed emotions for each memory are okay because you need everything needs to balance out in the whole circle of life. No, sorry, wrong movie. So, Pete, I'm going to start with you on this one. No, sorry. I'm going to give Kate the first shot on this one because I think she's going to be the one who knows who's going to be its champion. Kate, what about this made you jump for joy?
I love this movie, and not because it's a fantastic best movie ever. It's not. I love this movie because I think that this movie is important for kids to have. I think that this movie gave, I just lost my train of thought. This movie, in my opinion, gave a vocabulary that kids might not have had before. I wish I had had this movie when I was a kid, because I think I would have said, like, I'm feeling anger. Like, anger is running my life right now. I think that this movie is important, not because it's a super well-made movie, but I think it starts a conversation that can lead to healthy behaviors in children these days. The way that I relate to this movie, and I can't wait for the second one because having anxiety and awkward or whatever the ones are that are coming, just being able to relate to the emotions, that is what makes this movie fantastic to me. So I think some of the animation is good. The animation's good. It doesn't have like a lot of music or anything like that to go behind it, but just some of the things, like, okay, I am a visual person. When I think in pictures. I learned recently that there are people who don't think in pictures, which is crazy to me, but also amazing because brains are wild. And so I picture when anger, like fear comes up and he's like, maybe we shouldn't. And anger just punches him and then does what we want. I have had that happen in my brain before. Like when... you know, when sadness touches something and it does taint that memory, this was just so relatable. Are there things that I didn't like? Absolutely. And we'll talk about that. But, oh my God. And then you go into the brains of the parents, which part of which I never caught before, but I caught it this time, is like when in Riley's brain, they're not sitting at a desk, right? It's one desk and everybody's fighting for who's going to be in charge. As the parents, they're all sitting at a desk. They all have their own spot. They all have like kind of worked it out. It's just the symbolism is so good. Symbolism is so good. I find this movie very, very relatable. This movie makes me cry every stupid time I watch it when with Bing Bong and him stupid little take her to the moon for me. I hate that part. Hate it. Hate it. Hate it. But gosh darn it. This, I will talk about the parts that I don't like because there are a lot of things that I don't like about this movie. However, I think this movie is important to give kids a vocabulary and a visual representation of their feelings to help them possibly be able to vocalize that. So, Pete, you go.
I think I agree with what you're saying, Kate, which is like there's one of the things that Pixar has in the past done so well, and they don't always do it well nowadays, but they did well in this particular movie, which is like the heart of the movie, the emotion of the movie. They really like capture that heart and emotion. And the like, my wife watches movies and then 5 years later she doesn't watch, she doesn't remember the movie. So we're watching the movie and she's like, why is sadness so why is she trying to touch things, blah 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 blah. And I'm like, wait, that's the plot of the movie. Okay, just it's gonna make sense. And to get to that point where it's like sometimes you need sadness to work through things. And sadness is an, so even though it's on the surface and when you're young, maybe you think, oh, sadness, it's terrible. I don't want to be sad ever. I don't want to be sad ever. But then you realize that sadness is part of life and you have to use sadness to work through it and get to the joy. I just think that's such a heartfelt message and just very lovely. And I think that this movie delivers it very, very, very well. I think the animation is wonderful. You said it was good, but I love the way they animate Joy and that she has her own glow to her. All the characters have kind of this like effervescent surface to them, and just like the character animation is fantastic. The background and stuff is it's all fine and everything. But yeah, so those particular things, and you know, I do think there's a lot of things in it that if you got down to it that happen, if that actually happened in your brain, doesn't make sense, right? To like all your memories disappear and everything, and you know, so but let's not worry about that because this is a silly, you know, it's not reality anyways. But I did like some of the reputation or representation that they did, like the abstract thought jokes and things like that. They were very funny. And, you know, the dreamland and her, like her dream boyfriend and everything there was a lot of very funny bits in the movie and it made me chuckle quite a bit. It wasn't necessarily a big, you know, laugh out loud movie, but there were a lot of funny moments in it. What about you, Steve?
A lot of like Kate says, I mean, working in elementary, we talk about all the times of expressing your emotions. So getting kids to call out their emotions, like, how are you feeling? So, I mean, it makes me think of maybe we need to show these kids this. I love the voice cast. I think it was an excellent voice cast of how each of them really matches up with that feeling. I love Bing Bong. I mean, I take the part when Bing Bong basically sacrifices himself. It's that sort of loss of childhood, which teaching upper elementary, I see that you'd see the kids are still being like that kid-like. And the other ones are so fast-tracked to child that they've lost just being a kid. Makes me think about one reason why I love Disney, where I keep in touch with that inner child. I think that's why I really enjoy it. Like everyone says, is there some really great points? And there's some parts that like, when we get to next that I didn't care for as much. What about you, Derek?
I will agree with Kate that the message of this movie is very, very good. The there has to be that balance of you have to have sadness sometimes. Pete, I totally agree. I love the little fuzzy edge that they did on the different characters. Originally, it was just going to be Joy, but they honestly already had the model for Joy in the computer, so they just did it for all the characters. It was easiest. One thing I liked about the parents' brains is if you noticed, the characters had different seats in the brain. How on the mom's one, sadness in the guise of empathy almost was in the middle.
It was in the middle.
Joy was still running the show. Joy was still the one pushing the buttons in mom's room. In dad, it was anger. I don't know if you noticed, but in dad, mm-hmm. it's all the same characters, even, you know, the female characters just with mustaches on.
Yeah.
So, I loved the voice cast was good. I love Lewis Black as Anger. I love Lewis Black as Anger because that part was actually written for him with him in mind and no one else auditioned for it. So when it was, you want this, go for it. Mm-hmm. And he said, when they sent him that, they also sent him a case of like Pixar. You may not know who we are. So he said, so they either thought I was stupid or dead. So, but yeah, this had some chuckle moments, I would say. And most of them for me were provided by Anger, the Lewis Black character. So, okay. If that's what made us jump for Joy, what let some of the other not so positive emotions in for you? Steve, I'm going to have you start off on this one.
I think Kate sort of touched on it. The story was really slow at times, like incredibly slow. And I was like, I wanted more action and stuff. And I think with all the emotions, you could have done so many things with that. Like the emotions competing with each other. And I think that was the biggest thing. It was just like slow at sometimes. This is the second time I've seen it. And I was like, at one point I was looking at my watch going, how much more do we have to go? Or we're this far in and nothing's really happened yet. I mean, I think that was the biggest thing. I don't know how else you could have brought it out more. Very basic story. It's very slow.
Yeah. This not much happens in this movie and it's hard. And I understand, as my wife said, I'm not necessarily the target audience. Although I would argue in this one, it's every kid and every person is the target audience on this one. It was a boring movie for the most part, just because because from the time her emotions go away until they realize that, yes, we need sadness, that whole chunk kind of just is the same. Where she's losing, yes, we get it. She's losing parts of her old personality without these quote core memories because she's no longer a kid. I don't need to see all the events that cause all five of the islands to die. So, it was just that. I honestly could have used more humor in this. I know that's not the whole idea behind it, but there could have been more moments of Pete, you said you laughed out loud sometimes. I chuckled. I probably five times in the whole movie.
I said there wasn't a lot of like big laughs. I said there were a lot of little chuckles.
There were some little chuckles. I wouldn't say a lot of little chuckles for me, but it was just, it was heavy. Which there's a point of, but if you're going to have heavy movies, you got to have some kind of constant comedic relief going on, especially for kids. I mean, this was rated PG just because the Bing Bong character dies essentially.
Freaking heartbreaking.
My daughter said, I only cried a little this time.
But yeah, it was just, it was fine. Kate?
I also only cried a little this time, but that's because the first time I saw this, I didn't know what happened with Bing Bong, and I ugly cried.
Oh, this movie made me cry so hard the first time I saw it.
Ugly cried. This movie's long, and there are parts.
Time out. It's an hour 35.
I understand. There are parts that are very funny, like the part when they're in the memory thing and there's the two people who are vacuuming up the vacuums and they're like, phone numbers, who needs phone numbers? Mm-hmm. And like that made me laugh because it's like, I know I learned all of the state capitals at some point in the fourth grade. I know I could say all of them. Don't think I could do it now. But so it things like that, things that were relatable, I found very funny. I didn't understand why entire lands came crashing down. Like that I didn't get that. The parts that I thought were good were the parts that were when they were like, oh, the train of thought. I was like, okay, that's clever.
But they never made the joke. It finally derailed. I mean, it's just.
Yeah. Like that was clever. That was good. But their journey to getting sadness and joy back to the train or back to headquarters was way too long. I did like how Riley reacted when she didn't have joy or sadness, when she only had the three emotions coming from, other than Gina in the background, the only girl on this platoon. I resonated with all of that. Like I resonated with like, oh man, when I was a kid her age, when I was a girl her age, like, ooh, I remember that feeling. But it was just, it did drag. It felt like there were parts that it was like, why does this matter? Like why I needed it just to be tightened up. And I know it was only an hour 35. But to me, the overall importance of this movie, of giving your emotions a name and making it relatable and something that you can, giving kids a way to talk about it and a way to picture it, makes the long drawn out parts worth it to me. Even though they're not needed and didn't really make any sense. Pete, what do you think?
So I'm going to, not that I don't think that there's scenes in this movie that weren't necessarily needed, but I didn't feel like it was over long because you had to set up the world. You had to get through this story, this emotional story of the realization, Joy's realization that these other emotions are important. And then you also had to keep humor in it, which kind of required these little story detours to happen, to make to leave it humorous, because if it just focused on Joy and sadness going through, most of their stuff was kind of, you know, very dark, mostly darker. So I agree. It could have been like some things could have been tighter, but the problem is you can't cut 15 minutes from this movie, then it's not like a long enough movie. So what do you change to make it work a little better? I'm not really sure. Cause I will agree to some degree, like we get it. She's, you know, Riley's sad. She wants to go back to her life. And those scenes to me were the parts I thought dragged, were let's keep going back to Riley. And here's Riley being mad. And oh, here's her being mad again. And, you know, it was repetitive. And so I get that feeling in some of the other scenes, but I don't know how they could have changed it to make the story, tighter without the movie feeling too short. So I didn't mind that so much. One thing I would say is like, I didn't get why, like I realized she's a teenage girl. Disgust is not a core emotion.
That's fair.
you got fear, anger, you know,
embarrassment,
joy,
would have,
and then been disgust a better fit. I get it. She's there for the joke. It's a teenage girl. She's going to be like,
she's not a teenage girl. She's not a teenage girl yet. Right. That comes out Friday.
Right. So I don't think that character really added much to this movie. Right. And I don't think it really necessarily fit with the movie. They kind of needed a third character there for the part where Joy and Sadness have gone. So I guess that's what they picked, but I wish it had been somehow something else. And this isn't so much a criticism of this movie, but I hope they can manage to make the sequel not feel just like the same thing again. Just like another emotion comes along and that emotion takes over, and you know, how do they handle, I don't know. So it'll be interesting to see if they can succeed with it, not just feeling like kind of a carbon copy of the first movie. But I thought that this movie told the story and ended in a good way without the need for us, you know, without really wanting a sequel. Like some movies, you want to see more of the characters. This movie never felt like that to me. So,
yeah, I would agree on that, because from what I've seen of the previews, it is literally just this movie. The same.
That's what the previews look like.
Yeah.
Like you tell me Incredibles 2, I'm like, yes.
Because they can have a new plot. This is going to be more emotions that she's going to have to realize they're all going to have to get along with each other.
Right. But how are, like, and I'm not saying they can't do it, but they're going to have to make the story different somehow. And I'm not sure how they're going to do it.
Yeah. And for me, they made such a big deal about the moving van never showing up.
Uh-huh.
Give me a payoff where she finds something in the moving van.
Yeah.
From her old life that either sends her deeper or helps recover her a little bit.
Yeah.
That's how they could have made this developed a little bit more, because everyone was really a lot of really flat characters in this one. And not just in the abstract thought scene, but a lot of characters that did not change much other than Joy realizing that, yes, sadness has to be part of it. That was it to me, really. So, okay. Now, for our third question on this, which of the emotions or characters of this speaks to you? Which one really feels like, yeah, I get what that character's saying? And Pete, I'm going to start with you on this one.
Well, I guess they call him fear here, but in the new movie it's anxiety. But that, to me, those are parts of the same coin too.
Yeah.
But yeah, I especially when I was younger could be taken over by anxiety. So like as a young person thinking back, like, having that character as part of me. I mean, we, you know, all of these characters are part of all of us, but like I could totally, like, some of the things that anxiety was doing. Actually, I really liked the scene where he's like monitoring during the dream, and then the dream goes all crazy and he's like, the dog. I'm sorry, I laughed at
that. Looked a whole lot like that dog in Toy Story 2.
Yeah. Yeah, except he split in half and you could see the meat inside. So I feel like I could relate to fear quite a bit. What about you, Steve?
I agree. It's fear inside. I might present Joy like to people around me, but it's fear inside. But also Bing Bong. I connect with Bing Bong so much. So those are my two. Just that inner child. I think it's just being an elementary teacher of still being able to show that child side and have fun with students. So those would be my two.
Okay. I can see that. For me, now, if you asked my family, they would say sadness for me, especially when I was younger. My wife used to call me her Eeyore. So, which I totally see, just because ER is not only sad, but he's super sarcastic sometimes, which I don't know anybody like that. But for me, I can also see myself as Bing Bong, honestly.
Yeah.
Just because of the happy, the wanting to stay, you know, wanting to stay young, wanting to think of, you know, the happy thoughts of the inner child, but at the same time, no, this is what needs to get done. And even if it doesn't benefit me, this is what needs to happen. So that's how I can kind of see myself. So Kate, how
about you? I would agree with that. Kate? I would agree with what all of you. So everybody's going to expect me to say joy. Joy actually is very annoying to me.
But can we say Amy Poehler killed it as Joy, though?
She did as Joy.
So good. She was so good. And actually, there was a point I didn't know Amy Poehler had voiced her. And there was a point that I was like, I should look up who these voice artists are. And then I can't remember what the word was that she said. And I was like, that's Amy Poehler. But for me, I feel like I'm a part of Joy because I've worked really hard to find joy in very small things. But I also think, and it wasn't until one of you just said this, I think it might've been you, Pete, instead of calling him fear, you called him anxiety. And I think that fear should have been called anxiety in this movie. We'll see how they portray anxiety in Inside Out 2. But when I was looking at fear, when he like brings out the whole stack and he's like, well, there could be quicksand or something, or the teacher could call on us. That's all anxiety. To me, that's not fear. I mean, yeah, it's fear, but like, that's worrying about things that you have no reason to worry about, which is anxiety. So I would say I'm a mix of fear and sadness and joy, which isn't fair because it's like all the emotions. Okay. I'm definitely not anger and I don't think I'm disgust. But the other, I don't know.
Just pick one. Oh, wait. Oh.
See, for me, I can see myself as a little bit angry just with he was the one with all the sarcastic quip comments.
That's
how I can kind of see. But so, okay. I can say, although
I don't really see any of us as, I mean, I don't know all, any of you like as super, anger. Super well, but I don't see any of you as like having a big anger portion, any of us. So now Gina, maybe.
Except for Steve, man. He's just mad Herbert, all the time.
Steve, the teacher's brain in the end credits, that was so relatable with her, the kids giving the answers and her banging the head on the.
That did make me shock.
I'm dead here. I'm dying. Yes. And then the fact that she's going after the same helicopter pilot the mom was fantasizing over. So, okay. For every movie we do, we always do Pixie Dust ratings out of 5. And I have a feeling there's going to be a spread on this one. So, Kate, what were you going to give her?
I'm stuck between a 3.5 and a 4. Because the 4 would be because of how passionate I am about how important movies like this are. And how I wish I had had a movie like this to be able to voice my emotions as a kid. But it does drag. So
if it helps, last thing you gave a 3.5 to was like Mickey's Christmas Carol. I think you gave a 4 to was Wall-E.
Also good. Oh, they're both good. I'm going to pass. I'm going to go 3.5.
Okay.
But I might change it. Go ahead, Pete.
I'm giving it a 4. I didn't find it as slow as the rest of you did. I've seen this movie not a ton of times, but I've seen it 2 or 3 times before. I still enjoy it. It is not a movie that I would necessarily turn off. Again, it's not one I'm going to watch 100 times, certainly, but or one that like it's on. I got to watch it. But very solid movie, very enjoyable. I kind of feel like it's something, as you said, I think it's a good movie for every child of the age of like, you know, maybe 8 to 10 to see. And, you know, when you're starting to get a hold of those emotions and everything like that, I like it a lot. So 4. Steve?
I'm giving it a strong 3. like when I get done, I just sat there with three. Like I've seen it again. I don't need to see it for a few years. I enjoyed it, but I've seen better things. So strong three.
And I am giving this a very, very, very solid two. I don't need to see this again. Look, especially looking at some of the stuff I've rated twos and two and a half lately, I would watch all of my two and a halves before I would watch this again. This is something that if it's on, I will not watch it. I will find something else to watch. It's just, again, I can't, I don't enjoy it. So it is what it is. I hope for everyone's sake, they take some of the feedback, hopefully that they've gotten as far as the slowness on this and apply it to two. I hope that Pete, you're right. I hope that two is not simply a rehash of one. Yeah. I also know they could never do this in a teenage boy's brain and make it suitable for children's audiences.
Not even fourth and fifth grade boys.
No, no. Anything above about second grade. Nope. Because boys are gross and stupid.
Girls are not.
No, girls are mean.
Girls are mean.
Girls are mean.
Yeah.
And I hope
did anyone watch Riley's First Date?
Yes.
It's a short that it's listed as 10 minutes, but it's like 5 minutes plus 5 minutes of credits.
Yeah.
So if you get a chance to watch that, it shows like kind of the boys' view.
Excellent.
A very tamed down version of the boys' view.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. Kate, what have we got for Disney Plus news this week?
We just have one thing for Disney Plus news, and I'm actually really excited about it. The 1990s hit Angels in the Outfield will finally come to Disney Plus on July 15th.
And I can guarantee you that is going to go in our rotation sometime this summer. That is one that we were all talking earlier. It will be interesting to see if it holds up to what we all remember it being. Because I think we all have fond memories of it from the first time.
Yes,
I do. And I don't know about it. Well, Steve and I are the same age, so we would have been like older when it came out. But I still remember liking it. Yeah.
Yeah. And it is a remake, but the original is not that great.
No.
And it was originally came out in 94. So I would have been 13. So that's what Kate would have seen it in reruns or on VHS. No, I'm just saying that's not a shot. I'm just, am I wrong?
It was on TBS and we used to watch it.
Yeah, it's fair. So guys, next week being Father's Day, we are going to look at Saving Mr. Banks. Tells the story.
Father of the Year.
No. Sorry. Spoiler. No. But we are going to be looking. This is Sleeping Beauty. It's not Sleeping Beauty. Mary Poppins. It's her 60th anniversary for that movie. And as this talks about kind of the making of it and Pamela Travers' own father background, kind of. We're going to be watching this with sort of a build up to that. This movie, I've watched it somewhat lately. I'm going to be watching it again just because I don't know how closely I was watching it the first time, to be perfectly honest. So I'm looking forward to it. But guys, if you have suggestions of what we should watch come July and August, other than the Star Wars series, there's not much out there. So let us know what you want us to watch. Email us at plusplatoon@gmail.com. Message us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. I refuse to call it X. Anywhere, we will respond to your messages. And let us know what you want to do. And if you want to be on the show to talk about it with us, we have new shows every Thursday on YouTube and all the major podcasting channels. For Kate, Pete, Steve, Gene, our producer in the background, we will see everyone next week. Bye, guys.
Howdy.
Thanks for
for watching this week's episode of the Plus Platoon. Be sure to subscribe to the Plus Platoon podcast to keep getting great content each week. Then head over to Apple Podcasts and leave those 5-star reviews as they help make the Plus Platoon visible to even more Disney Plus fans. Also, go to YouTube and like and subscribe to the Plus Platoon channel, where you can watch all future episodes live. If you have a question for the Plus Platoon, please send us an email to plusplatoon@gmail.com or connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at Plus Platoon.
The Plus Platoon is a Disney Plus fan podcast and is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company or the Disney Plus streaming service. All opinions expressed on the show are solely those of the individual hosts and in no way reflect the views of the Walt Disney Company.
Thanks for watching, and be sure to stay tuned for next week's episode, because the Plus Platoon is to be continued.